This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, on a very warm Wednesday afternoon, did you see Kyle out in the parking lot?
Yeah, he was getting tan sitting in a chair on a sidewalk.
Yeah, I think he's finally gone cuckoo.
I said, it's hot out here, Kyle.
It is. What is it, 90?
Yeah. When I pulled into the parking lot, it was 90.
Yep.
Yeah. So
nice and cool in here.
Yeah, it is. I like it. Keep the coolness on, will you? Well, thank you for listening today. And this is a show about landscaping ideas and maintenance for your yard ideas and all those kinds of things. And if you have a question about anything in your yard that you'd like to know about, you can call me at 673-4464 and we'll get you on the air. You ask the question, I'll give you the correct answer. How's that? I guarantee it. And anyway, the intro is wrong that we have.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Have you mentioned that to Kyle yet?
No, I did not.
I forgot all about it.
Yeah. Well, the intro is I'm not from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping
that's
and Florist
right.
anymore, but I am still a contractor, landscape contractor in my own right, and licensed and bonded and all that kind of stuff. But I'm concentrating on consultations and design only. And if in the process of giving somebody a consultation and they want to design or they want to do some work and they say, well, we can't do that. You know, it sounds like good ideas. Well, how much would it cost? Well, I kind of give them a rough figure, but then I refer them to the nursery, the crew that's existing there. So I don't take any work away from them.
Yeah.
I'm just the consultant.
Well, what a nice guy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's only fair. What the heck? Anyway.
You mean there's fairness in the world?
There is in my world.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I'm nice to you, aren't I?
Yeah.
Once in a while.
I had to stop and think, no, you are. You put up with my jokes.
Yeah, you flatheads are all the same. Well, anyway, you know, it's been a nice week, several days in a row with spring-like weather. And there was a couple that snuck in with summer-type weather, too. I don't like those 199 type of temperatures. They're not good for my brain or anything else. What?
We got a phone call.
Already? All right.
Yeah.
Come on. Bring it on.
You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Yeah, Mike. My neighbor is currently building a new house. And right in front of the new house he's building, there's about a 20-foot-tall blue spruce tree. Mm-hmm. And it's just in a trouble location. It's right kind of by the front door. It needs to go away. And his dad has a new excavator. He, you know, knows how to run it pretty good. And they also have a forklift. So the question is, do you think is there any way possible that they could dig that tree up with a big enough root wad that they could, you know, like move it to the backyard?
And how tall did you say the tree was?
I'm guessing it's about 20 feet tall. The bed of the tree is probably 15 inches, something like that.
That would be, unless you had a giant tree spade that was specifically designed to dig large trees and get a good root ball, I don't know that it would work.
You'd have to have a spade that would go in out about 5 or 6 feet at an angle.
Right.
You couldn't just dig up the
area
around the tree and pick it up. You'd have to actually dig an area and have it lifted all the way up.
Yeah, let's say from the stem, from the trunk, you'd have to have probably a 5-foot-wide root ball.
I see.
And it would have to go down at least three feet maybe to get the majority of the roots. But the problem is a tree that old has a massive root system.
And, I imagine.
You know, you look at the top, it's like an iceberg.
That's the deal. Someone told me that whatever you see on top is the same thing on the bottom.
It's even more on the bottom.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
but you could try it and see. I mean, I've seen it done with major tree spades, but as warm as it is and it's in the middle of the growing season or the beginning of the growing season, that's going to cause some hardship to the tree.
So he'd almost have to buy a spade for his track hoe to try to even attempt to do it right.
Right, or you could rent one. There's outfits in Eugene that can do that, that have those kind of machines. You could call them up and they could come down and look at it and say, yeah, that's a doable thing, we can do it, or no, it won't work and it'll cost you X amount of dollars to move it.
Okay, well, I'll pass the information on. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
All right, bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, simple as that. What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. I just said it 5 minutes ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you're not listening again. You flatheads are all the same.
You want to explain that?
Why?
Okay.
Well, just because you got a T-shirt on that says Uncle Flatheads? Yeah.
And I was in Walmart earlier walking out, and the greeter says, "Funny, you don't look like a flathead." And I had no idea what I did not connect it until you said something about it just a few minutes ago.
I
go, "Oh, I'm an idiot."
I didn't call you an idiot.
No, you didn't. But we do have another call.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Good afternoon. Ooh. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I put some rhododendrons in about a month ago under some trees in the woods, and my concern is, do they need any water this summer?
Yes, they do. And how large are the rhodies?
Oh, I'd say maybe 18 to 24 inches tall by probably 18 wide. They're not really big. They will get to be supposedly 5 feet.
Oh, yeah, they will, definitely. Did you buy them at a nursery or did you dig them wild?
No, I got them, I don't know if I can say it, at the plant stand.
Yeah.
I didn't go to, like, Lowe's. I didn't want something from, you know, China or somewhere else. I wanted something that was going to work.
I don't blame you.
So, okay. And you told me that, too. You'll get all these weird things at these other places. So I thought, this is a safe place. I have them under some cedar and fir trees. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
They are blooming. They look great.
Good.
I want to hang on to them. So.
Okay. And as the heat is building on us, at least give them at least once or twice a week watering because they're freshly transplanted. And if you know what vitamin B1 is?
Well, I can find out.
Well, it's specifically for transplanting, and what it does, it invigorates the root system, takes away the shock, and produces new roots. And you can buy it by the quart or by the gallon or whatever. And the normal mixture is 2 tablespoons mixed with a gallon of water, and then you pour it right there on the stem and around the root ball. And if you did that maybe once a week, for 3 or 4 weeks, that's like a super insurance policy.
Okay, vitamin
B1.
B1.
B as in baby.
Okay.
B as in baby.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And then just, you know, I was concerned with this heat, so I did go up and I put some water on them, but I thought, oh, well, summer, I think they probably should have something. Okay, and do that once a week then.
Yeah. And for, you know, maybe a couple of months. Just a good insurance policy.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.
All righty. I won't ask you what our number is.
Why not? 673-4464. Did you forget already since the last 5 minutes ago that you asked me?
No, that's what you're going to say. I just said it 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, you flatheads can't remember a thing, I tell you. Well, anyway, I love it. 2 phone calls right off the bat.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had 10 of them, I'd be happy. I could save my notes for next week.
There you go. Be prepared.
Yeah. I remember one time we had 7 phone calls and it took up the whole hour.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
It about this time of year, or do you remember?
Yeah, it was a springtime kind of thing when people are out there, you know, busy in their yards, and how do I fertilize my lawn, or what do I fertilize it with, or how do I water it, you know, those kinds of things. And you know, it's you just need some good standard advice so you can get on the right track.
Yeah.
You know, how much, how often. And that's what gives you success.
Well, come on, folks. We got 5 more to tie.
That's right. 673-4464. Anyway, so with this spring-like weather that jumped into summer, things are popping like crazy. I mean, there's new leaves, there's flowers, there's this, there's that. And even though it's, what, mid-May now, that's going to continue for, another few weeks at least, maybe another month if you keep them wet, watered, not soaked, but watered on a continual basis. Depends on how much water you put on it, but don't saturate them, but keep them moist, and, mm-hmm. and they'll do fine. Especially if it's a new transplant, like the lady just described on the phone on the last phone call. And roadies are tough, and I've spoken about roadies a lot and in the past. And if you drive up the North Umpqua, for those of you who have heard me say this 200 times, if you drive up the North Umpqua, you get up around Tokadee and you start seeing the wild roadies. And you get up and Tokadee, say, as you're headed toward Diamond Lake, is on the left or to the north. You look on the south side and there's some lava flows. And over the years, one of the things that was like a bright bulb going off in my brain was, those roadies are growing in lava. How in the heck do they do that?
No, and they're not a flathead.
No. I mean, the lava, old lava flows.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no soil per se, but there's these, and I'm not talking little things. I'm talking 5 and 6 foot tall rhododendrons.
Wow.
They don't look super green and lush or anything, but they're growing and they're alive.
Yeah.
So that's how tough rhododendrons are. And it's not a plant that you have to worry about. And then azaleas are in the same boat in that respect. They're very, very tough.
They're probably growing up there by Mount St. Helens.
Yeah, on the very top. Yeah. No, but roadies are, if you get a good sized root ball and you're transplanting, you're going to have good success. I've done it with, and I've told this story too before, a lady didn't want her roadies in front of all her windows, and we showed up and they were bare stems. Excuse me. They were bare stems all the way up to about 7 feet, and these rhododendrons were about 9 feet tall, and they were just bare stems, except there was a few leaves on the top, and the stems were 2-3 inches in diameter. And I thought, I can't throw those away, so we dug them up. She wanted them out anyway, so we dug them up and dug a good root ball. Mm-hmm. Took 2 and 3 guys to pick a root ball. That's how heavy they were.
Jeez.
But then I cut them back to 3 feet tall.
Yeah. I bet they took off.
Oh, it took them a year.
Oh.
I took them to the nursery. I just put them in the shade out in the back of the nursery and covered them with bark mulch and soaked them.
Yeah.
And, you know, once or twice a week I'd soak them. There was a sprinkler system out there anyway. And gave them some start and all that. And they kind of sat there bare with their stems for about a month, 6 weeks. And all of a sudden I see these little green nubs on the stem. And those little green nubs within another month were leaves. And it totally leafed out. They were beautiful. There was 9 of them I dug up.
Mm.
So... it was nice, and then the following year, they were budded up, and so I bought some giant pots and put them in the giant pots, pure bark mulch, brought them up to the front, and I sold them for like $250 a piece.
Wow!
Yeah,
I bet that lady's kicking herself.
Well, I don't know.
I could have sold them and done that.
Yeah, only if you do it right.
Yeah, that's right.
Only if you really know what you're doing
and
babysit them and make sure they have all the right ingredients to foster new growth.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how tough they are.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody kills a roadie when they buy it out of a nursery, they're doing something drastically wrong. They're putting gasoline on it or something.
Oh,
I'm
mama.
Not sure.
Well, let's take a break and do something right.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, and our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. You forget that a lot.
I do. I don't forget this, though. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Oh, I was hoping I wasn't stumbling over that.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
I think that was our cue.
Our cue? Are we back?
We are back, yes.
All right. So, thank you for the phone calls so far. I like those.
Keep it coming.
Good. Huh?
I said keep them coming.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, like I was starting to say, you know, the leaves are popping, everything's looking good, everything is leafed out, everything is so bright and green, you know, it's just like, wow, fresh, and it looks good.
Oh,
and,
it does.
Yeah, and even the trees and shrubs in my canyon, where I get less sun because of the ridges and stuff.
They're loving it, too.
Oh, yeah, they're leafed out, looking good, and, you know, I forgot. You know, how beautiful it can be out there in the boondocks when things that, you know, we're probably 2 to 3 weeks behind out here, you know, in the, we got another phone call.
We do have another phone call. Well, hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I got a lawn that's growing in clay dirt.
Huh.
And... is there anything I can do to make it more absorbent? Because the water just runs right off in the summertime.
Yes, there are several things. How old is the lawn?
Oh, probably 10 years old.
10 years old. Have you ever thatched it or aerated it?
I have not.
Okay, well, that's your first two steps. Thatching, what thatching does is you can rent these machines at Roseburg Rental down the road here, but thatching is like a big comb, and it's it looks like a big rototiller, but what it has steel bars, and you'd run it through the lawn, and what it does, it takes out all the dead stuff that's down underneath that you can't see, and it just combs out and cleans out all the excess dead stuff. And then when you get rid of all that, get it off, then you then you aerate. And the aerating machine is, some people call it a plugger. What happens is you run that over the lawn again, and it actually pulls plugs of soil out. And about, you know, 3 inches, probably 3 inches deep, maybe 4 inches deep, depending on your ground. And then... if you water and fertilize, that water and fertilizer gets down into the root system, and that lawn will explode with green growth and look good.
Okay, great. That's a good.
And use a high quality lawn food. Don't get anything on sale because it's only $4 a bag, because it's not going to work.
Where do you suggest getting that? Co-op or somewhere?
Co-op would they have, you know, like 15 selections. Get a Scott's lawn food. You know, that's the company name. But and if you put after you've thatched it and aerated it, you fertilize it and then sock the water to it, oh, say every day for half an hour for 4 or 5 days, and then you can start slacking off on the days, but keep it at a half an hour per setting, but then you're maybe every other third day, and as the lawn really regenerates, you'll see. It'll go from what you're looking at now to something green and lush, and that's
really okay. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Hey, one other thing though, you don't want to cut your lawn too short. Most folks cut too short because they only want to do it once a week or once every 10 days or whatever. Keep the blades up a little bit. The lawn will not be looking like a golf course, you know, with tight lawn.
Right.
But what happens is that green grass will keep the water and the moisture in and actually cool your yard at the same time. So don't scalp it. Keep it a little bit longer.
About 3 inches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. I love your show.
Good. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
You bet. Bye.
Alrighty.
Whoa, three calls in a row. Yeah. Hey, we're on a roll. Keep going. I got lots of info. I can just
four
tell
more,
you.
Baby. Four more.
No, I want five more.
You want five more?
I want to break my record.
You want to break the record? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to retire, are you?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to walk out of here and say I'm done.
Adios.
Adios.
Adios. Whatever the word is.
But anyway, the. the trees that I was talking about, the shrubs that I was talking about. Yeah, I mean, as you drive around Roseburg, Roseburg's a beautiful little town as far as landscaping goes.
Yeah.
And you drive into some neighborhoods, some of the older neighborhoods over there by the old Mercy Hospital.
Laurelwood,
yeah. And you see houses that have been, you know, they're about 70, 80, 90 years old.
They're older than my ex-wife.
Yeah, well, probably older than you, too. And the landscaping is somewhat mature in most of them. And you'll see rhododendrons, you know, 8 and 10 feet tall, 8 feet wide, filled with blooms. They're just gorgeous. And with the trunks are, you know, 4 inches or 5 inches in diameter. They look like a tree, for crying out loud. And you can have that if you've got the right set of circumstances and you can do it. But enjoy the flowers. Drive around. See, when you're driving around, you know, you get a lot of ideas. Hey, I could do that with my yard. Or that would look good in my yard. Or maybe not as much, but, you know, the same kind of idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as in my 50 years of doing this in Douglas County.
Is that all?
Oh, that's all. You know, I'm only 106 now, for crying out loud.
Okay, Moses.
Moses. I can't even grow a beard either. But, you know, when I be in a neighborhood where, you know, there's everything's kind of landscaped, and then boom, you'll see one that's really looking sharp, and I think, well, that's a good idea. That's a great look. And so when I'm designing something in the future, those kinds of things come to mind, and I can incorporate other ideas because of what I've seen that works. And that are, not only do they work, but they're not a high maintenance kind of landscape, and they turn into a beautiful yard. I mean, that's
nice.
You know, that's
the goal.
That's the goal. Yeah. But anyway, you know, you can't beat spring in Douglas County. It's just a really, really pretty thing. Now, the maples, the ashes, those kinds of natural trees, they're pretty much leafed out, and that's good. And but there's many other trees mixed in with all that. You've got the native Douglas fir, you've got some oak, you've got some madrone, and you know, they all create a really colorful landscape. They're a lot slower than what we plant, what we buy at a nursery. Douglas fir is now just pushing new growth. You know, some of the candles finally, the buds have burst, and you can see this bright, bright, beautiful green ends there that are coming out. It looks like somebody decorated the trees.
Mm.
They're gorgeous. Now the oaks, for instance, they're a little bit slower, but when they pop, you know, all those leaves are just a super, super bright green. And madrones are even slower than the oaks, but when they come out, they're gorgeous. And you may not have a madrone in your yard. They're mostly up on the hillsides
yeah.
and all that. I got a jillion madrones at my place, but and they're not pushing anything yet. They're just sitting there with, you know, their old leaves from last year.
Still taking a vacation.
Yeah, saying, hey, forget it, man. It ain't hot enough. But
we got another call.
Another call. Thank you, thank you.
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike. Hello?
Hello?
I can hear you.
I can't.
Need glasses or what?
Pardon me?
Need a gardener.
Well, I don't think that was for us. But anyway.
Well, I didn't understand what she said.
She said, do you need glasses or what?
Glasses or what? I don't know. Maybe it's one of my friends doing a crank call or something.
Well, let's try it again. Are you still there, caller? No. All
Apparently
right.
not. Oh, well.
I guess we need glasses.
I guess. I've got glasses on, for crying out loud. You know.
At least that's all she said.
I know. But at my home, you know, I got a lot of acres, and I've planted flowering cherries and flowering plums with a lot of different types of Japanese maple in amongst the natural vegetation of oak and Doug fir and some pine. And it really decorates, you know, the pines, the firs, et cetera. They're green, they're beautiful, they're stable, they're majestic, et cetera. But when you throw a few tough flowering cherry trees in there, I mean, it really gives it a lot of pizzazz. It's just like, whoa, look at that. It's and
yeah.
They don't need a lot of care either. The first year, yeah, you water them once a week and all that. But by that second spring in the ground, their roots are established and they don't need water. period. That's all there is to it. Whatever comes out of the sky, they use.
Sounds like my kind of plant.
Exactly. And that's why I plant them around my place, because I don't have to mess with them. And people think Japanese maples are so exotic and tender. Wrong. They are tougher than nails. You can't believe how tough they are. After that first year and are fully rooted in the ground, and they'll just go on their own and look good. And you've got, you know, multiple colors. You've got green, you've got red, you've got mottled colored leaves with red and maybe white dots, and green with white stripes and maybe a little bit of red in them. There's, I think, over 3,000 varieties of Japanese maples that
Jeez.
I've read about.
Who would have thought?
The Japanese, apparently. I don't know.
In conjunction with the Chinese.
Of course. They stole them from the Chinese.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. They stole the bonsais and Japanese maples and stuff like that that the Chinese had. They were works of art. And this is way back in, like, 1100 or something.
Qing Hang Ding Dong days?
Yeah, somewhere in there. And when Japan invaded China, that was some of the booty that they took back with their bonsai collections, which they revered. And, you know, and they were actually the bonsai masters that were doing that.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, I read a lot of history on those over the years.
Too bad they didn't just stick with their trees and left everybody else alone.
It would have been good. It would have been good. But I've planted, like I say, Japanese maples in my natural furs and things like that. And it just gives you a great spot of color. And if you don't have acres, but you have a normal size yard, these are good things. These are good kind of trees. You don't have to mess with them. The first year, yeah, you water them a little bit. You don't overwater them. And they'll root in. And after that, if you watered them the next year, maybe twice a month, and the next year after that, once a month, after that, you wouldn't have to water them at all.
Yeah, wow.
And that's how most Japanese maples die in yards, is because they're under irrigation that comes on once a week. And we've got, like that first caller said, he got clay soil. Well, clay soil doesn't drain worth anything.
No.
But then it turns brick hard in the summer. So those root systems are going to struggle a bit. But in the interim, if they're watering it all the time, the water's not draining, so it's rotting the roots, and the roots that are there are gone, and it can't take any nutrition from the soil up to the leaves. And and I tell everybody that I consult with and look at their yards, that they say, well, this Japanese maple or this dogwood or whatever they've got, it's looking bad. And so I make a house call, and the tips of the Japanese maples are brown and crispy and kind of curling up. I ask the question, how often is this watered? Oh, twice a week. Well, that's your problem.
Too much,
because that's that's the first sign of overwatering, is the browning of the leaf tips, and then it just continues to work back into the tree until the leaves die and the tree dies.
They just can't go anywhere.
Yeah, they can't do it.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. And our phone number once again there.
673-4464. Keep the calls coming.
Yeah. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. Beautiful Wednesday afternoon to be out in the garden and call us.
Yeah. And get too hot, sit in the shade, have some iced tea, relax.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. You know, it's only, what, 90?
Yeah, it's about 90, even 90.
Yeah, you know, it's 99,
gotta love it.
99 in here, but, you know.
No, it isn't. It says 73.
Oh, okay. I'll go with that. But anyway, I've been talking about adding to your natural landscape with colorful trees like Japanese maples, flowering plums, flowering cherries, flowering pear, all that kind of stuff. But of the hundreds of trees I've planted all over my property, even some places that, you know, take take you 10 minutes to walk up the hill with a bucket of water to water it. 99% of them have grown into beautiful specimens.
Mm, I mean, cool.
You know, you make sure you pick the right tree to begin with. And like I say, the Japanese maples, I got them planted on along my creek, but not near the water. But on the edge, in case I had the water, I could take a bucket out and just do it, but I haven't. And I've got them on some hillsides. And some are, one on the hillside above my house is probably 12 feet tall and has about a 6-inch diameter trunk. And when I put it in, it was 6 feet tall.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
And it has a big, beautiful red leaf, real deep red leaf. And it just kind of shines. You know, you look up there, you can't miss it. It's just sitting there looking good. And
you can pick it out among the crowd.
Yes, you can. You can. But I planted these things for several reasons. Number one was to test the hardiness. You know, you read about something, you see it, you read several articles about a particular tree and one, you know, how good it is or how not hardy it is.
Yeah.
So I would plant the ones that say, well, this is hardy, you don't have to do this, this, and this. And I wanted to see, so because if I tell my clients over the years, yeah, you can do this to this tree. It doesn't need a whole lot of care. And a lot of people don't want a high-maintenance yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand
no,
that.
Sure.
Everybody's busy. And I wanted to test the hardiness and the rate of growth. You know, does it sit there and just kind of, you know, do nothing or, you know, barely grow? Or does it? And they all grow real well. I mean, some of the Japanese maples, they'll grow a foot to 18 inches in a year. There's one I have in front of my house. Gets a little bit of water, but not much because I got some rhododendrons off the deck there. But, gee whiz, I've pruned it, I think, at least twice, maybe three times over the years. And it's been in 20 years or so. Mm. But it looks like I had never pruned it. The son of a gun is just growing to beat the band. It's a green leaf Japanese maple. It's probably good 15 feet tall and about, at least 12 feet wide, you know, from branch tip
to
branch.
That's big. And
and it's kind of a light green, and it just shines when the sun hits it. It just shines. And
See,
it's right off the porch, and my wife feeds the hummingbirds with these stupid hummingbird feeders. And we always got 10,000 of them on the porch. Well, the found out over the years that the hummingbirds go up and they build their nests in that particular
tree. Oh, do they?
Yeah. And you wonder, and I was gonna prune it one day, and it was kind of springtime-ish, and I can't. There's hummingbirds in there.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to mess with their house, you know.
Yeah. Could you see the little birdies?
Yes. Yeah, little teeny things. And
I never seen a hummingbird nest.
But as I planted these things, like I say, I wanted to be able to tell my clients, yeah, that is very hardy, or this one is. It'll do well in the sun, but this one has to have shade. And I've planted so many different varieties around that I've got a real cross section of who does what, where, and how well, and how bad, and everything else. I'd say of all the trees and things I've planted, of maybe, like I said, 99% survival. So I probably lost one or two over the years.
Well,
and
that's pretty good odds.
And usually it's because a porcupine attacked it or a deer rubbed his antlers.
That's
the weird thing. They'll do that antler rub and scrape off all the bark, and then the tree's struggling. And if you don't catch it right away because it's not near the house, it's up on the hill, down the creek, down the field.
You'd much
something.
Rather shoot the deer than lose the tree.
Well, yeah. I just
allegedly.
I just pen them up. Wait for deer season. No, I don't do that.
Yeah, make little pets out of them.
Yeah, but you know, like I say, I've warned clients about overwatering for a lot of years, and to prove to myself that the reality, I purposely let my trees fend for themselves, and like I say, they've done well. So I can speak from experience. I can speak that this is what you do, and if you do this, this, and this, you're going to be fine. But you know, if you have trees that are adjacent to a lawn with a sprinkler system and they're reaping the harvest of some of the sprinklers and then they're struggling, well, that's the reason. Now, there are trees that will like the water, the willows and some of those kinds of things. But they'll take over your yard, too.
Oh, boy.
And
especially those willows.
Yeah, yeah.
They just, yeah.
But, you know, as the only plants I really have to water are my, like, my bonsai plants, because they're in a pot. And they're very shallow pots, and they'll dry out quickly in hot weather. And I've got them on my back retaining wall. And most of the afternoon, they're in the sun, and they get some afternoon shade, and they get morning shade. But about 5 hours during the day, they're in that hot sun. And so they need some water. And I don't water them every day, but about every other day, you just give them a little shot. Because the pots are only 3 inches deep. Because what you're trying to do is create a very old-looking, ancient type of plant, and that's what bonsai is all about. And you know, that's okay. But as my botany professor in college told us many times, and it says, plants grow in spite of us, not because of us. And his name was Lee Hunt, one of my best college professors that taught me more than... And a lot of them put together. Because I use all that information.
You're still using it.
In my daily life, you know. So I see a lot of roadies right now that are in full bloom, and they're quite large for their planting spots. And gee whiz. And if that's the case in your yard, they can be pruned to fit better in that particular place. If they're up against a wall, up against a garage, up against a fence or something like that, you can prune them. But the primo time to prune a rhododendron or an azalea is when the blooms are done and they die off and they fall, which could be, you know, this month and probably a little bit into next month. And when they do that, then they'll start to push the new growth. But that's when you want to prune them. Like, say you got one that's 7 feet tall, but you only want it 6 feet tall or 5 feet tall. After it blooms, prune it. And you'll say, well, that'll hurt it. No, it doesn't. That's how rhodies and azaleas act. And what'll happen is, if you prune it prior to the bloom, you know, you got those bloom buds all over it. You prune it then, and you got no blooms. So let your blooms do their thing, then prune it, and then they'll set as they grow, and the new growth comes on. They'll set new bloom buds for the following spring.
Oh, okay.
So you can have your cake and eat it too in that respect. And
you sure gave me some good advice on my Easter lily. It is just flourishing this year.
It's going to take over your whole yard.
Yeah, it is. My neighbors have to walk around it now on the sidewalk.
Good. Say, don't touch my plant.
It's just, I've never seen so many flowers on it.
Well, good. I'm glad you followed some instructions.
See?
For a change.
However, the China vine is doing well as well.
I could not identify that. Is this still trying to take over your yard?
Yeah, it tries to get inside the Easter lily, and I...
Yeah, it'll choke the Easter lily.
I choke it.
Can't you dig the sucker out? Can't you just get in there with a shovel and just dig out the whole plant?
I probably could.
That's going to be your best bet, I think.
Yeah.
Just keeping it, unless you want to keep pruning it once a week.
I don't know. It takes up space, but trying to kill my Easter lily, it's going to get dead.
Yeah, well, don't let it do that. Your Easter lily is a lot nicer. I mean, you know, it blooms.
Yeah, and it's not from China.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, that's what you do with your pruning rhodies and azaleas. After they bloom, prune them. You think, oh my gosh, it's May or June. It's okay, prune them. They'll push new growth. The new growth will be lush, and by this fall, they'll have flower buds for the following spring. That's the way you do it. So do not fear, because those rhododendrons, like I said, they're very hardy, and they're almost impossible to kill, truly. And just remember, they grow wild in the high mountains, in lava flows, and they grow in pure sand at the coast. So that's range of soils that they do. And in those lava beds, I've seen them in full sun. I mean, full hot west-facing sun. And you go, how in the world does that thing live? Well, they do.
It's amazing.
Yeah, they do. We got a break?
Yep, we got another amazing break.
Amazing break. We ought to make a song about that.
Amazing Break?
Yeah. Amazing Break.
How, whatever our phone number is.
673-4464. I hope anybody's not listening.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty, moving into the final segment, and we have a phone call. Hi, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
What is the trick to growing those California poppies that you see? They'll come up on a sidewalk, but if you try to transplant one, it'll die, and then you can put all the seeds out you want. They never come up.
Well, you can transplant them if you're very careful and get a good root ball, and it only takes one, and they'll spread like wildfire. And I don't know that they're for sale commercially. They may be, but I've not seen them for sale in any nursery. But maybe they are in California or something like that. But they're a wild thing, and once you start one, it will multiply very rapidly. But the secret would be not to to get a good size root ball on them, and they grow in groups, so you could probably get, you know, three or four in one shovelful, and make sure that when you transplant it, of course they come up in the dry country, so when you plant it, you give it a little bit of water so it can regenerate itself. But after that, ignore it, and it'll do fine.
But is there a trick to getting it to come from seed?
I don't know. I've never seen the seed. I've never seen it for sale, and I never, in all my years, I've never seen that particular type of seed. There may be, it may be out there, and I've just, spaced it out.
Okay, well, thanks.
Okay, well, try the co-op or one of the box stores. They may have it.
Otherwise, I was going to scrape them off one of those poppy seed rolls. Maybe that'll work.
Okay. Well, just be real careful and wait till they get mature before you start scraping them up.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
All righty. Thank you. Well, that's going to open up the lines. We still have time for a quickie.
Well, I thought you said we had two calls.
Well, you know, one hung up.
Oh, okay.
Went away. I was trying to answer.
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of buttons here, and this guy, I don't know, he's just been on the job a couple hours. And he's just messing.
Yeah. Oh, there it's coming in.
Okay.
Let's do it this way. Bing bong. Hey, you're up. Ow. Can you turn down your radio a little bit there? That would be very helpful.
Yeah, I turned it off.
Oh, okay. That's good. Even better for now.
For now.
So how can I help you?
Okay, I have some clematis plants that are just kind of taking over my patio. Can I cut them back right now before they bloom, or do I need to wait?
No, you can cut them back now. You can't kill them. Once they're established, they just go gangbusters. But if you let them bloom, you enjoy the blooms, and then you can whack them back to nothing if you like.
I will do it.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
All righty.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, is that a tie? Have you been keeping track of the phone calls?
No, I haven't. I think that's six, though.
Six?
I think so.
Oh, we need one more.
No, we need two more to break the record.
Two more. And we got...
I don't know. I don't know.
We have time if it's a real quick one.
I don't know. Okay, in the meantime, the gardening season, the vegetable gardening I'm speaking about, has finally arrived. So grab your tools and transform your yard into a colorful show place and enjoy every minute of it. And put the carrots and everything else in there. We got a call?
We do have a call. Hi, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi there. Yeah, I was wondering, what is the best spray to put on the azaleas? Because I got the white stuff on it that makes the turning the bark dark.
On your, what plants did you have it on?
On the azaleas.
On the azaleas? Well, it's a fungus, and you could go to the co-op and look at the different fungicides they have there, and that will take care of it. One thing you have to remember, whatever you spray it with, you're going to have to spray it probably more than once, but you don't want to do it in the heat of the day. It's good to do it in the evening or very early morning, and just give it a good soaking, a saturation, and make sure you aim right at the spots that are infected. And it takes some time, but it'll heal itself.
And should I wait until after the blooms are done?
Yeah. Enjoy right the now. Blooms better. You know, that way you've got the blooms going, let them go, and then go ahead and spray it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
All righty. Thank you. All righty.
So, where are we?
At calls?
No, I mean.
Oh, we got a couple of minutes yet.
Couple of minutes, huh? Okay. Well. You know, I speak about pruning a lot, and that was a good question to lead into here. You know, even the plants that are or the shrubs that are putting on new growth, light pruning and shaping is going to benefit them. The shrub will come out with a fuller look and will force growth where maybe, let's say, the bottom third of the plant was leafless and had very little growth, but the top was going crazy like a mad person. Well, you can take part of that top off and force the growth to a lower dimension and fill out the plant a little bit more. And you can do it now. I mean, if it's blooming and it has blooms all over it, don't prune it. Wait till the blooming time is over and then go ahead and prune it. And, you know, most of those kinds of shrubs are very tough. You're not going to hurt the plant, and you're going to force new growth, and the plant will be better off for it. And if there's too many stems in the bottom, say, third of the plant, go ahead and thin some of those out so that there's good air circulation, and it helps to keep the bug population down, and any fungus that might want to attack it, it won't survive, or it won't survive as readily if it's a real tight-knit, lots of branches and no sunlight, no air circulation, and that's what the fungi like. So it's a good time to do that right now. And like I say, those that are in bloom right now, wait till the flowers are finished, you know, and then look closely at your shrubs and get a picture in your mind of the finished product before you prune. In other words, you've got, say, a shrub that's 6 feet tall, 6 feet wide, and it's outgrown its spot by about 3.5 feet.
Oh, no.
Because you planted it too close to something, or you got too many of them. Well, look at it. You got your pruners in hand. Don't attack it yet. Look at it and visualize what it's going to look like after you prune it. And try to get a picture in your mind of what it can look like, and then begin the pruning process. And you might make a mistake on the first one, but that's okay. It'll come back.
All right. Good show today, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you for all the calls out there.
Absolutely.
That was great. I appreciate that. That's what this is all about.
We can do it all again next week.
Yeah, and we want 28 calls next week.
Afternoon Report coming up on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.